Could you go over once again the relationship or the it's almost a meditation on prana in hatha yoga to help us see beyond the body, that the body is
The prana is pure energy or the cosmic life force. As energy, it is indivisible. And it is cosmic, it is forever cosmic, never individualized. And that cosmic life force or cosmic energy is merely the cosmic movement again in cosmic consciousness, all cosmic. Cosmic movement in cosmic consciousness is prana, cosmic energy. And movement or motion is naturally from point A to point B, or point A to point A, or point A out. It starts from point A, any movement. And when it goes round in a circle, comes back to point A immediately, then there is the motion is stilled. It does not happen very often, or most often it happens the other way round, that it misses point A on its outward journey and therefore forms a spiral. And the spiral happens in infinite points, and this gives rise to infinite jivas. Now, there is trouble. Jiva is a concept, is a notion, an individual is a notion. That in this cosmos, this movement of cosmic energy can spiral and thus create a form for itself is nothing but a notion. And that notion is the jiva, or the individual personality. This notion, moving further and further and further away from its starting point, which is consciousness, pure consciousness, with inherent energy, pure consciousness with energy inherent in it, assumes various degrees to itself. Degrees of density away from the center. So, the motion first, the first movement creates space. Space already. So the first movement creates space, and the further movement in space creates air, is air, not creates air, sorry. The first movement is space, the first movement in space is air, and further movement of air, which is friction, is fire and water at the same time. And the movement further away from the center is solid matter, earth. But it is good to remember that all the time it is nothing but prana, in the purest sense. When these things are put together, there appears to be a physical material body. When all these are confined to this material, physical material body, the same prana again performs various functions, promotes living, prana, promotes elimination, which includes death. Wholesale elimination at one stage is death. That is why apana is supposed to preside over the function of death. Elimination including death. And preservation, assimilation, etc. Breathing and so forth. And samana, circulation. Vyana, the energy that is throughout the body. And udana, enabling you to walk. And there are certain other, what are known as the subsidiary pranas. One of them is important. I didn't mention it, I think, the last time. It's called Dhananjaya. The name is not so important as the function. And the Hatha Yoga's text says that this Dhananjaya does not leave your body even after your death. That's crazy, isn't it? That even in a dead body there is prana, one aspect of it. And it is the aspect called known as Dhananjaya. Because there, some activity is taking place. The disintegration, the decomposition of the body is taking place. That's also a movement of energy, a form of energy. So, according to Hatha Yoga, there is no dead body, there is no non-living substance, which has no life force. Even in that dead body, there is a life force. It is decomposing it, distributing it. And what, therefore, is the difference between this and that? Here, the I thinks I am in this body. There, the I does not think I am in this body. So, it is only the tail end of this whole process that the body is formed. And prana functioning in the body is called all this. But it's not limited to the body. It's not confined to the body.
So the only thing that dies with death is I.
Is the I conjunction.
I conjunction.
And prana is beyond I, because it's there even in a dead body. Still functions. And other functions of prana have already abandoned this. I don't need it. It's gone away. Neither prana nor consciousness is limited to the body or the ego sense. Neither this prana, which continues even to function in a dead body, nor consciousness, which continues to function in sleep when I am not there, when the I is not there, has anything to do with the body. The body is only an accidental coming together of some substance, potatoes and cheese. An accidental coming together of potatoes and cheese. When this is understood clearly, there is one important self-discovery. It has to be a self-discovery. That is, the life force now associated with this body responds to the life force in the cosmos. Okay, number one. Number two, the consciousness which is associated with this body and this, what's called this mind, my body and my mind, my life, is really not limited. So that, in a manner of speaking, your consciousness is in touch with the consciousness of the entire universe. There is only one consciousness, cosmic consciousness. What we call intuition or inspiration is a thought, is that arises from this cosmic consciousness. And therefore, strangely enough, it is shared by several what you call individuals throughout the world. But when you try to struggle, you know, to transmit the thought to somebody else or something else, the silly I comes in between, it stops it. If you are able to overcome that and dive into this, this is picked up by everybody else. And therefore only the thought of one who has gone beyond this ego sense becomes one with the cosmic thought, cosmic consciousness. It is picked up by others. But whatever arises from this cosmic consciousness knows, is felt everywhere. As particularly today is Buddha's birthday. When Buddha taught in India or whatever it is, the same thing was being taught in Europe. I think that was more or less when Socrates lived. Totally unrelated to to each other. I don't think they had any radio communication at things like that in those days. But they taught exactly the same thing. And probably there would have been somebody else in America at that time, some American Indian. Probably he was killed a little later. And when Jesus was teaching in the Middle East, more or less the same thing was being taught in India by somebody else. A sort of reformism. And I think Confucius or Lao Tzu, somebody else was there teaching in China at about the same time as Buddha. That is when?
Confucius
or Lao Tzu?
Confucius, yeah, I think so.
Confucius, probably. 500 years before Christ?
Yeah, I think
Lao Tzu was a little later. Some such person. So that what the cosmic consciousness throws up here, not filtered by the ego, or not produced by the ego, that is being broadcast everywhere throughout the world. That's again, inspiration is therefore beyond the I. Life force is beyond the I. And that is my famous maxim. I wasn't necessary for being born, and death happens in spite of me. Why is I necessary now?
Why?
I was not involved in my birth. Huh? And death takes place in spite of me. And why is I necessary now? It's a dreadful question if you face it. It is because I think that I cannot live without me. And it is only in order to emphasize that the body is not, the prana is not confined to the body, that the yoga texts insist upon the Dvadashanda, the 12 finger outside, that prana arises from there and apana ends there. Yes?
What makes an idea come from the cosmic consciousness into the minds of many people?
Good heavens. Who are you asking?
You.
You. I don't know. My passport says my name is something else. I'm not cosmic consciousness. Absolutely no answer possible.
Many people have talked about the divine plan, but you don't think that that's knowable?
One may sense type of thing, you know. But I doubt very much. Because is it possible for the divine plan to be revealed to me without me coming through, into it? Please forgive my saying so. Most of the people who promulgate a divine plan that has been revealed to them usually have a prime minister's role in that divine plan. I would believe somebody proclaiming the divine plan, if he says, my God, God has revealed to me a divine plan, according to that, in 3 years' time, my head, I'm going to be beheaded. Then I would probably believe it. But they don't say that at all. People who remember their past births are they who were all high priestesses in Egypt. Most of them. All of them. Nobody says I was a scavenger in Pharaoh's bathroom. That's what makes me suspect all of them. If somebody comes back and says I was a snail and when you are a god, then I am prepared to believe it. All of them are either Nur Jahan or some kind of, you know, the girl over whose tomb the Taj Mahal was built. Some kind of great princess or priestess. Or something.
I'm confused about the... today is Buddha's birthday and you say thoughts that are beyond the eye enter into the cosmic consciousness.
They are really not thought. I'm sorry to you, I have used the word,
yeah.
But it's... No other word can be used.
Yeah, that's...
Right. Go ahead. Mm.
There's no time to...
No time.
Is there?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. So today would indeed be special, or it's at the time that we've set for us to recognize.
Right. Mm-hmm. Time is recognized by us, not by the divine infinite consciousness itself. But why not? Mm-hmm. Also possible. And in such cases, our friend the Yogavan in Vasishta that we are reading at night, he uses a very beautiful hammer blow. Whenever such a question is asked, he says, "Ah, it's possible. Only it is like an accidental coincidence. To the spectator, it looks as though there is a timing, but in fact, there is no timing." And yet there appears to have been a timing. Mm-hmm. And this accidental coincidence has got a very special expression in Sanskrit logic, and that is called kakataliya. Kakataliya nyaya. That is, have you seen coconut palm trees?
Mm-hmm.
You have. It's a slender little thing, very tall, and it's got a fairly heavy coconut palm. It's fairly heavy. And I think the same, something like this cosmic intelligence or cosmic consciousness, I don't know who it is, who grew the first coconut palm, also considered the effect of this heavy thing falling on somebody's head loosely. And so made it nearly impossible for it to be dislodged so easily. In South India, for instance, they cut this coconut palm, people who climb up the coconut palm and chop it down, chop the fruits down, and they have to carry a very special type of knife, sickle. It's very sharp. So that's only to tell you that it's not easy, you know, barehanded for you to dislodge it,
mm-hmm.
even if for a strong person. A man was sitting in a grove, plenty of coconut palms, and he was looking up one tree, quite a few fruits there. He couldn't climb and he didn't know how to pull one down. And at the same time, a crow came flying, alighted on one of those things, it fell. My God, that crow must be terribly strong. It was able to dislodge this coconut. It was ripe and somehow it was falling. In any case, it would have fallen. Right? It would have fallen in any case, whether the crow sat on it or not. But to a spectator, to an ignorant spectator, it looks as though that the crow dislodged the coconut. So when you see a coincidence, which doesn't make sense in terms of what transcends time and space, consciousness, he would come and say, it's an accidental coincidence. Kakatali yoga. Only from our point of view, we are spectators, from our point of view it's interesting that this must have happened at different places at the same time. You can also, in our own lives, you can probably sense it retrospectively, not the before, usually. This I have seen between mothers and babies, or very close friends, intimate friends. That is, when you think of him, you are immediately picked away from your ego sense. Right? Your heart seems to open and you go beyond the ego sense. In such cases, telepathy is possible. What you think, he thinks at the same time. It's rare, and we pray that God may keep these things rare. That is when, even though the thought arose there, in the mind, within the field of the ego sense, it's able, because of the ego sense slipping away, it's able to drop into the cosmic consciousness, as it were, and picked up somewhere else.